We're going to bring in the great Joe Theismann, one of the great Redskins of all time, on the Afternoon Delight with Pop and Bonta here on 95.7 The Game. Welcome back, Joe. And I've been comparing Chris Thompson to your guy, Joe Washington. Maybe it's because of the 25 on the jersey in burgundy, but do you see any similarities to Chris Thompson to your guy in the Rocket sweeper, the screener, Joe Washington years ago, Joe?
Tremendous comparisons, and I apologize for being a little bit late. I was pulling weeds, and time got away from me.
So, Joe Theismann pulling weeds? Don't you have upstairs butler that does that for you or something? Come on.
No, the downstairs butler usually does, but he's off today. No, actually, you know something great? It really is. It's quite an amazing comparison. As a matter of fact, the angle routes, the one that Chris dropped the run that he made and then the one he dropped that probably would have been another touchdown against the Rams are the routes that Joe Washington used to run for us. They're option routes where he can go inside or outside depending upon what he manages to be able to do with the linebacker or safety that's covering. But there are similarities. They're both actually very good inside runners. I mean, people look at Chris's size and they looked at Joe's size and they figure, man, these guys are just perimeter runners. Both of them actually are very good inside runners. As a matter of fact, Joe Washington preferred to run inside where the trees are so that he can maneuver his way to the second level. So, yeah, I would absolutely agree with you 100%. There's tremendous comparison.
Yeah, and just watching the Redskins play last week against the Rams, I thought Joe Bugle was calling the offensive line calls and Coach Gibbs was there and you were under center. I saw so much of the old counter tray where I see the right tackle and the right guard pulling and getting out the backside. Because we know Jay Gruden being John's brother, being more of a guy who likes to throw the ball. But I saw a lot of good things in the Redskin run game last Sunday, Joe.
It was. There were a lot of good things. And it's funny you mentioned that because when I was at the game and I was sitting there with Mr. Snyder, and I looked at Dan, and I thought to myself, you know what? These are reminiscences of when I had the opportunity to play behind these guys. The offensive line is athletic. Morgan Moses is a lot more athletic than people think at the right tackle position. Certainly Trent Williams, one of the most athletic guys in football. Brandon Scherr at the right guard can do the same things that basically Russ Grimm could do. But there were similarities. And Jay has made a conscientious effort this year to want to run the football, to create some balance. Kirk Cousins threw for almost 5,000 yards last year. I made the prediction in the beginning of the year, and I still hold to it. I'd be surprised if he gets to 4,500. I think the Redskins want to be able to control the game a bit more by running the football. They have the guys up front, and they look like they're ready to go now. The first game, they looked very lethargic and uncertain of themselves. Of course, that's what you get coming out of preseason. But no, I was quite impressed with the way Jay called both games and the execution the guys did in this one.
Yeah, during the regular season, he's sitting in the owner's suite with Daniel Snyder. Throughout the preseason, he's broadcasting the games on TV along with Kenny Albert, one of the great Redskins of all time, MVP of the 83 season, a Super Bowl MVP from the year before. Joe Theismann back on the Afternoon Delight with Pop and Bonta here in 95.7 The Game. Tell me about Kirk Cousins, what you see from him, and just the whole contract issue the last couple of years and franchise tagging him. Maybe it's a statement of how contracts are done in the NFL. Do you see him staying long-term with the Redskins? There's a lot of rumors about Kyle Shanahan, you know, Mike's son, maybe making a play to get him at some point. Tell me what you see from Kirk Cousins, Joe.
I see the same thing this year that I saw the last 2 years. I see a guy who's consistent, who has a high completion percentage. The one thing he needs to work on is protecting the football when the team is in a scoring area. He had some problems with it a year ago, had some problems in Philadelphia with it. He's becoming more athletic, running with the football, making plays outside the pocket, which is something he talked about he wanted to try and do a little bit more. The thing about Kirk's situation, and this is what people have to understand, is after Derek Carr signed his contract, I thought Kirk would sign before Matthew Stafford. And on May 2nd, the Redskins offered Kirk, at that time, the most guaranteed money to a quarterback in the entire league. He turned it down. As a matter of fact, he didn't turn it down. He and his representatives never responded to the Redskins. So everybody says, hey, what are the Redskins trying to do? Why are they doing this? Because Kirk has made the decision that he wanted to play under the franchise tag this year and create himself some options for next year. And, Greg, we know this. Kyle Shanahan wants him bad. The 49ers were $63 million, I believe, under the cap this year. Kyle wants him bad. But then what about the Arizona Cardinals? What are they going to do? What about the Jets? What are they going to do? You know, is Cleveland content with what they have there in Cleveland? There are half a dozen teams in the National Football League that would take Kirk Cousins right now. The question is, Kirk is going to sit, this is what I believe, Kirk is going to sit down and hopefully he goes through the season healthy and has a terrific year. He's going to sit down and he's going to look and he's going to look at the landscape and he's going to say, which football team can I go to that gives me a chance to win in the playoffs, possibly get where I want and put a ring on my finger? What's the supporting cast look like around me? I can tell you this. When you look at all those other teams in the National Football League, the best supporting cast that he has is in Washington, D.C., and that's why I believe he will make the decision to stay there. Because the number is going to be somewhere between $120 and $135 million. That's a given. You know, what are the Indianapolis Colts doing now with Andrew Luck? $98 million or so guaranteed, and you're not sure he's going to play football this year. And you're not sure what's going on because right shoulders are tremendously sensitive issues. So, you know, where is the guarantee? And I believe the best fit for Kirk would be where he is, having been in the system. And I believe with the players around him, give him the best opportunity to win.
Yeah, that's funny. You mentioned all those teams, Joe, and I even look at Houston, even though they have Deshaun Watson down there, they still need a quarterback. I don't believe you. And that may be a good supporting cast with that defense down in Houston.
No, that
Texas.
Would not happen. They're going to live with Deshaun down there. Houston, to me, wouldn't even be a thought.
Yeah, after striking out on Brock Osweiler, I could see that. Let's talk about this Washington defense. It's going to be a good matchup against the Oakland Raiders. They're very balanced, run game, pass game. How would you think they'll use Josh Norman? Will they, you know, have him shadow this week, Amari Cooper, Crabtree? How do you think they'll play this Raiders offense, Joe?
I don't necessarily see them putting Josh on Amari one-on-one across the field. I think they have a confidence in Breland. I think Rashard has shown some really good cover skills all through training camp, all through the preseason, as well as into the first two games. So I think they have the confidence in Rashard right now that if Amari lines up in front of them, they're okay with it. The big thing is going to be able to control the running game. The Raiders, you know, I looked at the three best offensive lines in football were the Dallas Cowboys, the Oakland Raiders, and the Washington Redskins going into the season. So you had two of the better offensive lines. The whole thing is what happens with Marshawn Lynch. Are they going to be able to control the game enough to force Derek Carr to drop back on 3rd and 11, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8? Or is it going to be a constant chess match between Greg Minuski and that offense at 3rd and 4? Now, the Redskins, you don't want to face a whole lot of 3rd and 4s, 3rd and 3s against the Oakland Raiders. So I think the key, as it always will be in the National Football League, it lies with the five guys up front on offense and the 6 or 5 that play on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, our defense is playing much better football than it did a year ago.
And he played, he had the Hogs in front of him, and now the Washington Redskins have the great Trent Williams in left tackle. We're joined by one of the great Redskins of all time, Joe Theismann, back on the Afternoon Delight with Pop and Vonta here at 95.7 The Game. So you're going to rank the Redskins O-line with the Raiders and Cowboys O-line. Trent Williams, speak a little about him. I haven't seen him. We haven't played the Redskins in 4 years, Joe. I'd forgotten how great he is in space. But you were talking about Morgan Moses, the right tackle, being athletic. I see him playing high sometimes and just getting beat around the edge with a speed rusher, and he's going to get Khalil Mack on Sunday night, Joe.
You're right. I mean, the thing is he's going to have to drop his bottom a little bit more. I mean, but he's always played high. The thing he can offset that with is these long arms of his. I mean, Morgan's going to have to get on his skates a bit with Khalil. I know J.J. Watt is a great pass rusher, but, you know, Khalil Mack, to me, is right there. I mean, you know, pick your poison if you want to call the best pass rusher in football one of those two guys. I really feel like Morgan has come a long way. Trent got beat on the outside a couple times in Philly, had the same issue happen against the Rams. I think they're going to have to protect the corners better than they have, because Kirk's not necessarily going to take off and go anywhere. You know, they basically operate out of the pocket. That's what the Redskins do. Maybe they move them a little bit more. I'm not sure. I certainly would consider it. But, you know, Morgan does. He's so tall. And, you know, his lower body is different than Trent's. Trent's about 2 inches shorter, it looks like anyway. But his girth below it is a little bit more stout. Morgan's just a tall guy. But like I said, he makes up for it with such great arm length and pops. So it'll be a great match. There's going to be some terrific matchups as this game goes on Sunday night.
So you were talking about the weapons that, that Kirk Cousins has around him, as good as any team in football. Speak to some of those weapons. And, you know, Jordan Reed, I think, is one of the guys that clearly has been his number one target. Just doesn't seem like he's moving well. You did the preseason games with Kenny when he wasn't playing. And he comes back, and I don't think he moved as well against the Eagles. And now he's got a rib or a sternum injury after the Ran game. Where is Jordan Reed at physically right now? Do you think he'll play on Sunday night?
I think he'll try and play on Sunday. But how effective will he be? I mean, he's had recurring issues, hamstrings, ankles, shoulders, sternum. You know, that's been, you're talking about a really, really pure talent that can't stay healthy. And that's why the Vernon Davis signing was so important to the Redskins. They can do some things with Vernon Davis. Not quite, he doesn't quite have the shake that Jordan does. But Vernon will help him out tremendously, and they don't have to lose a lot when it comes to working to the tight end in the passing game. He's got great speed. He's got terrific hands, probably a little bit better blocker, although that's not one of the strengths of what the Redskins do with their tight ends. I think the area where they've, you know, and they didn't throw the ball a lot to the wide receivers against the Rams. They basically focused on Chris Thompson, and they focused on Jordan Reed. And, you know, Terrell Pryor's in his second year as a wide receiver. He's a tall guy, so it's different for guys 6'5", 6'6". The low balls become issues for them because they have to bend over. You think you have a catch radius, so you throw it a little bit higher, and it forces little mental games with the quarterback. And Josh Dobson just hasn't played football. I mean, he played the game, but he was non-existent except for one play in the last game. He needs to be visible in this game. He's going to have to step up and make plays. The Redskins lost DeSean Jackson, and they lost Pierre Garçon. 2,000-yard receivers. And they replaced them with a young man who's yet to really play football and another one who's just learning. Now, it's not to say that in time both Terrell and Josh can become very effective, but right now it's a learning process. And this is a tough league to go through the learning process in.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor is trying to make the really interesting conversion from college quarterback, NFL quarterback, to NFL wide receiver. Joining us on the Afternoon Delight is Joe Theismann, one of the great Redskins of all time. But before he played with the Redskins, he went to the CFL, played with the Argos, the Toronto Argonauts. And I remember you running back punts when you first got in the league. You were such a great athlete. But speak to what Terrell Pryor is being asked to do. I go back to Marlon Briscoe, you know, with the Broncos in the AFL in the late 60s, Joe, and then he came to Buffalo and was a good receiver, then went to Miami on their undefeated team. Outside of Marlon, I can't think of too many guys that have had to make this kind of a transformation from quarterback and playing it in the NFL and being a great, you know, college quarterback at Ohio State. He won a lot of games. Terrell Pryor, he is big. He seems a little sloppy in his route running. He's dropped some balls. Where is Terrell Pryor at, Joe, in his conversion from quarterback to wide receiver?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Greg. I think there's a couple other guys, too. Tony Martin made the transition also in Miami Dolphin. And then great Julian Edelman. You know, we forget Julian was actually quarterback in college, too.
Yeah.
But the slot is a different world. Yeah, I all through the OTAs, all through the mini camps, all through training camp, Terrell Pryor did not miss a practice. He would go out early, and he would catch balls from the jugs machine. He would catch 50 balls at least, 60 balls. He'd catch them with one hand. He'd catch them with two hands. He'd catch them in front of him. He'd catch them behind him. He is working so hard on a skill that he is trying to learn. I mean, he was in Oakland as a quarterback. He was there. People know what his athletic skills are, but it's an entirely different world for a tall receiver. You know, tall guys, let's Julio Jones as an example, is a tall receiver with the skills of a six-footer. You know, Terrell is a tall receiver converting to receiver with the skills of a guy that is still learning what his body can do, still learning to catch the ball in traffic. Now, last year he played with five different quarterbacks in Cleveland, still managed 1,000 yards and 77 catches, but he was the only guy that caught the football. And think of it, you know, if you're a shooter in basketball, and you don't hit the shots right away, people keep feeding you, and then all of a sudden you hit a rhythm. With Terrell, if you're going to get seven balls a game thrown to you, which is a pretty good amount, you can't drop him. He has in preseason. He has in the other game. The opportunities aren't there like they were in Cleveland, where he was truly the only guy that they could build into the offense. Now it's Terrell. It's really Jordan Reed 1, Chris Thompson 1A, and then you get to Terrell, and then you get to Josh, and you're Vernon. So the ball is being spread around in a lot of different places, and the opportunities are minimal. And you have to capitalize on them, and putting the ball on the ground in key situations is something you can't do. It's like Kirk. You know, when Kirk gets in the red zone, the interception he threw against the Eagles, that was a critical time in the game. You know, if you come away with three, you're still ahead. It changes the game's momentum completely. So, you know, guys have to keep on making plays, and they did in the Ram game. You know, like I say, one got away from Chris, or that'd have been a 65-yard touchdown. He'd had just as many yards receiving probably as Antonio Brown has in the league, had he caught that.
Joe Theismann joining us on the Afternoon Delight, going through the Redskins wide receivers with Terrell Pryor, Jamison Crowder, Ryan Grant, the young guy Dachson. We talked about the tight ends. And you mentioned, Joe, you know, losing DeSean Jackson now in Tampa Bay. And Pierre Garçon is now a 49er. They're going to play a Thursday night game tonight in town against the L.A. Rams. You know Garçon well. Hell, 1 year, 2013, he caught 113 passes to lead the league at over 1,300 yards, 12 yards a catch. He had a lot of good years in Washington. Tell me about his skill set. How should Kyle Shanahan use Pierre Garçon this year?
I think Pierre Garçon is the trigger for emotion on a football team. He plays nasty. He plays tough. He doesn't try and avoid contact. He takes it on. He's a trendsetter. Guys get excited. When Pierre gets his hands on the ball and he starts running, there's a collision that's going to occur. And he's probably going to come out on top in the collision. I always believed in the last couple, 3 years, if we got the ball early to Pierre, it would be sort of a tempo setter for the game because he brings such toughness there. I promise you, Kyle will get the ball to him early in this game. He has to. He knows it. Because Kyle called plays when he had him before. He knows his skill set. He's going to be a 65, 75 catch guy with about six, seven touchdown passes. I mean, that's basically going to be, I would think, the numbers at the end of the year. But you throw him a hitch, he's going to get not five, he's going to get eight. Or he could break it. You throw a post to him down around the goal line, he's going to get his body in front of it and take any hit that any safety wants to give him. I've always believed that getting him involved early sets the tempo and temperament of what a football team wants to be on offense.
Yeah, he's a tough guy and he's difficult.
I thought he was going to be the one they would keep. Of the two that left, thought Pierre would be the one they might have considered keeping. But, you know, DeSean has a skill set that you just can't find. I mean, there aren't too many guys in this league can just flat take the top off of defense. Tariq Hill in Kansas City, and you see what speed can do. Cooks in New England is another one. Antonio is another one. You know, maybe half a dozen guys in this league that when you line up and you get too close, you know, all you're going to be looking at is their name running past you.
So good to talk to Joe Theismann, especially with the Raiders and Redskins set to go on Sunday night. He gave us about 20 good minutes. Are you going back to your weeds now, Joe? Or
I've got one more bed to do.
trying to visualize Joe Theismann pulling out weeds in the yard.
I use a knee pad so I don't hurt my knee.
Can you tweet this out? We need photo evidence of this, Joe.
I'll have Robin take a picture of me weeding. Yeah. That way you'll know.
Thank you, my friend. We'll see you on Sunday night when the Raiders and Redskins go at FedEx. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe, thanks.